We'll bow our heads for a moment just to say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know that you're always speaking to us. We pray for the life of the Holy Spirit to understand how to live more like Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, look a little bit at this gospel, then I'll tell you the story about this wonderful, wonderful priest up in Michigan, Father John Ricardo, in relation to here today's gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel today, explains to the disciples, the apostles, that the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and scribes, be killed. And then Peter, who had just been given the keys to the kingdom, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, that corresponds here. Peter, who just identified Jesus Christ for who he is, not John the Baptist, not a prophet, but the Christ, the anointed one, Peter. Our Lord then turns on him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I was on a retreat this summer. There was an awesome, just a tremendous priest, Father Dennis McManus, who was giving it. And he looked at this gospel passage, and we discussed this for a bit. He says, "You know, in Christology, many times we think of God's, Jesus Christ, as divine nature. In a sense, sometimes we have a false notion that the divine nature so overwhelms Christ's human nature, because he's fully God and he's fully man. The divine nature so overwhelms that, like he had no problems, like no difficulty, like everything was on cruise control going through life. But that's not the case. We believe as Catholics, through Scripture and 2,000 years of the teaching of the Church, that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully human, like us in all things, but sin. That means he got tired. That means he was hungry. That means he showed emotion. And he cried a couple of different times in Scripture. He died, he cried the death of his friend. We have different examples where our Lord's angry, with justified anger. So our Lord is like us in all things but sin. Now what's going on here in this gospel? This priest, Father McManus, said, "Let me put on my psychiatrist hat here and look at this. If you see this reaction right here, Jesus gives the keys to Peter. Then he says, what's going to happen? Then he explodes at Peter. When Peter says, far be it for you that you would suffer." Now, if you have a dear friend, that's going to be one of our reactions. If they're going to suffering, you want to sort of like help them, protect them. So one way you look at Peter here, well, he's sort of like a human compassion there, right? Well, this is what the priest said, Father McManus. Jesus Christ in his human nature, there was like a tension there, trying to be fully resigned to the divine will, to the Father's will, to embrace this cross coming up. And it says it explicitly in his agony in the garden. Christ says, it says in the Scripture, "Father, not my will, but thine being done." So Jesus being God, he saw the sufferings, everything that was coming, and he could predict it. At the same time, his human nature recoiled from that. It's like he knows, okay, I'm going to that point. Oh, what I have to go in between that, going from here to there. I think all of us, during the course of our life, we have experiences like that. Maybe we have some difficult job to do. Or maybe you have to tell your child something that's difficult. Or maybe God's asking you to do something, and you sort of cringe and recoil, like, "Oh, I'm not strong enough to do it." But yet, in the depths of your heart, you know when you turn to God for grace and prayer, you're going to do it. But getting from that point A to point B is very difficult. So our Lord right there, so when we're going through this on retreat, I think if we're aware of this, it brings us closer to Christ. Realize he does know our pain. He does know our suffering. He does know the different fears and things that we go through, where he himself and his human nature has gone through that, but yet never sinned. Our Lord then says something very difficult here. The end of the gospel is very difficult. Very difficult. "If you want to follow me, if you want to be one of my disciples, this is what we need to do. Three things. Deny yourself, take up your cross," we all have a cross, "and follow me." Deny yourself, that's difficult. Our first thought is usually about ourselves. You know, self-preservation, what's best for myself. Then take up the cross, make an act of the will, and actually to embrace it. And once you've done those two things, then our Lord said, "Now you're following me. Now you're following me." No way that we could do this on a natural level. No way. We need supernatural help and grace daily, the prayers and the sacraments. Now, the story I want to tell, it's very interesting, but it brings a point home about the cross. The name of the priest is Father John Ricardo. He was ordained up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in 1996. And I don't think he's in his 50s, this is the late 40s. My brother John's up in Ann Arbor with his wife and his children, and he listens to this priest on, I think, Ave Maria Catholic, a radio station up there. Just fabulous priest. Anyway, he said his first memory that he had in life when he reflects back when he was younger was a crucifix. And looking at the cross and seeing Jesus on there and realizing that we had to respond to that. So that's quite significant. So at a young age, you see God had touched his heart. He grew up in his family. His mother was Methodist. His dad was a devout Catholic. He was on his knees praying every day, went to Mass. His dad was also the chief executive officer and chairman of the board for Chrysler Corporation. And John's coming into existence was a miracle in itself. He had four siblings that were born before him, but his mom had a lot of chronic back pains and crippling back condition. And the doctors ever says, you know, for you to have another child, it's going to be, it may be the death of you, it's going to be very, very difficult. Well, anyway, she felt that God was calling to have another child, and she had John, and it was a miracle, really, that he came to be, and he was alive and healthy. And John says when he was 13 years of age, one of his sisters had gone to a Catholic charismatic prayer group, and someone had gotten the message, someone has a severe back problems, and God wants to heal them. So they called up their mom. It wasn't Catholic, it was Methodist. She came, healed. A month later, she was out playing tennis and doing all these things. Her back was completely healed. She became Catholic then, huh? Now, So what happens after this? And John, back to John, he enters the University of Michigan. So he had a good Christian base growing up. Mom was a good woman. She becomes a Catholic in his late teenage year. He sees his dad's example. So he goes off to the University of Michigan. He gets his communications degree and a degree in English. And so he's going to conquer the world in a sense. And his dad tells him, he says, John, I'll be thrilled whatever you choose to do in life, even if you want to be a priest. And John said, I assured my father that will never happen. That thought has not been in my heart, that desire has not been there. That's not God's will for me. So after this conversation with his father, he's driving his car. This relates here with the gospel. He said, suddenly it hit him that to follow Jesus Christ, there is a cross and it's heavy. It's not a romantic type thing. It's difficult. So the thoughts were going through his mind. And you ever have one of those times where you maybe want to drown out your thoughts, maybe you have a TV playing in the background, a radio, he's in the car, so there's this radio going, drown out his thoughts, just to forget about everything, sort of like numb. Then the radio turns off. He said, really, truly, Jesus Christ appeared in the passenger seat of the car. And remember, I saw him on TV giving this testimony. And you can just tell when he's speaking, it's the Holy Spirit, he's reliving this moment. He said, the very moment I had an actual vision of our Lord Jesus Christ in my car, he sat next to me. It was clear that it was him. He reached across the seat and dug his right hand into my chest and said, John, these are your dreams and goals and desires, everything you want to do with your life. Our Lord had reached in, pulled things out, and said, John, your dreams, your desires, everything you want to do with life, your life. Then our Lord opened the window, and he motioned, and he threw it all out the window. And John said, Lord, that's my life. You just threw it out the window. Jesus then said to him, John, I'm going to give you my dream, my goal, my desire, what I want you to do with your life. But then our Lord was gone. He vanished. Now John, he's still not sure, because the Lord did not say a priest, and that desire was not in his heart. So he's like, well, what am I going to do? So he started going deeper back into his faith. Never really left him. He said at times he was on a path that was leading to hell, even though he was going to church, he wasn't conforming his life. Like St. James says, our acts have to conform with our faith. So then he starts working for Ford Motor Company, actually. He's an account manager in a training program. This now he's 25 years old. He had this experience. Then he said he was reading Matthew's gospel. He read these words. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so. Some because they were made so by others. Some because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept it ought to accept it. And then St. John said, right when he read those words, he thought, oh, nuts. I'm supposed to do this. A thought went to his mind. And then suddenly, he said, this age of 25, I heard a clear voice speaking to me. Quote, John, I'm inviting you to live single and to do it as a priest. Although the voice would not have been audible to another, it certainly wasn't my own voice. And I had never considered the priesthood. So I said to the voice, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then you better give me a desire for it, because I don't have that desire whatsoever. He said by the fifth day, his desire and thirst to be a priest was just on fire, and he responded. Just a couple little things at the end. When you enter seminary, you have to undergo a physical, okay? And they check different things out. When he goes to the physical, the doctor started asking him about, John, what kind of trauma did you suffer when you were a youngster? He said, I didn't have anything. Well, said, yeah, you did. What are you talking about, doctor? You have scar tissue on your heart. A light bulb went off in John's head. The time that Jesus Christ sat in the car seat, reached over and touched his heart, because he said it was painful. Now, this father, John Ricardo, his first thought, first memory, was that of Jesus crucified. Huh? And then he reads the gospel passage about giving up marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. That's another cross. And then our Lord said, your goals, your desires, those are out the window. I want you to do my desires, my will. That's where you're going to be happy. That's another cross, conforming our wills to God. And then finally, then, to respond to it and to enter seminary. It's just an awesome, awesome thing I would like someday to happen here. And here's the point. All of us are called to follow Jesus Christ. To follow him where? To the kingdom of heaven. A perfect place, a place of perfect peace, happiness, joy, something we can't even imagine, as St. Paul says. But to do that, we have to strive on a daily basis to die to self. Mortifications. If you want to be closer to Christ, if you want to live life in union with Christ, look for some daily sacrifices, things that maybe are unpleasant to do, difficult to do, but do it with an intention of love for Christ. Maybe to get up, make an effort to go to a weekday mass, sacrifice sleep. Or maybe if you have difficulty getting your prayers in, to get up 15 minutes earlier. Or maybe you're having difficulty with food, maybe to give up a meal each day. But look for something. I'm speaking to myself too. God wants us to live such an intimacy with him. But we're the ones that are blocking that intimacy. But by making a sacrifice, the Lord says, then you'll follow me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.